League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome into the show. Sean and I here with you on a day after the Astros take a series from a good baseball team. I started this week talking about how I did not care that they took two from the Rockies in a foreign country. It meant nothing to me. This series means something. You beat the Guardians. You take two out of three. Probably should have swept them. Or, you know what, maybe you averaged out to... He came out even because Caratini hit a two-run home run to win a game. Unexpected home run. A home run that wouldn't have been a home run in almost every other major league ballpark. So maybe two out of three is the right result, but you do get it. You get a good performance from Spencer Arrighetti. We'll hear from Joe Espada and his thoughts on his young pitcher as he continues to improve outing to outing. You've got good John Singleton, and this leads me to this question. Because Sean proposed that Jose Abreu was a bit of a mush. Him being around had bad vibes. Now that he's gone, at least the vibes for the first baseman that might have been looking over his shoulder or wondering how many at-bats he would get are great. John Singleton's had a really good, well, three games. I mean, and we have to go with small sample size when it comes to saying good in John Singleton because it certainly hasn't been an extended run. But there's an article on the official Astros site written by McTaggart, covers the team on a daily basis, discussing where John Singleton is right now, hitting 275, OPS at almost 800, and most of that is thanks to what has happened over the last couple of days. He's been good over the last couple of games, and he's hit big homers, he's driven in runs, and it almost makes you forget that Alex Bregman can't do anything with runners in scoring position. Another bad night for him when runs were needed. A couple pop-outs with runners in scoring position. He was not great. Singleton, the exact opposite. And certainly, one, we don't have many expectations or much expectations for John Singleton. We just, hey, don't embarrass yourself out there. We'd appreciate it if you come up with a hit every now and again. And he's done that. And then you look at Alex Bregman and it's like, maybe we won't miss you as much as we thought we would. This version of you, we're not going to miss. Maybe in 2 months or maybe later this month, we're going to regret not giving you a deal. But the one we see right now, can we trade you? What's your value? That's what he's playing like. And it always devolves into this when you have a really good player who's contributed for a long time and at the end of their run, potentially, when they're not playing poorly, when they are playing poorly, everyone's like, get rid of them. Who cares? Beat it. We talked about yesterday how it was 30 games in, and we've already forgotten how good this team was over the better part of a decade. We've already turned on them. The grace that they were given was, we said 30 games. It wasn't even 30 games. People had turned on them before. It was that sweep in Chicago, I think, was the last straw for a lot of people. Getting swept by the Cubs had to have been the very last loss in that five-game winning streak, I think, turned a lot of people off. Never mind that they've won four out of five since. And I think last night, nothing but positives outside of the Bregman stuff. You know, you get an easy win. Your young pitcher outperforms expectations. He wasn't able to get a win, but the offense came through in the seventh inning. We'll hear from a spot about that as well. He talked about how it reminded him, or at least he said, that is the team you should come to expect. That's the team they have been. That's the team that we should believe they still are. And putting up that crooked number against a good baseball team, that was very Astros-like. It might have come in some aspects from less than expected sources, particularly when we talk about what Singleton did last night. But, hey, we'll take it. 2 out of 3. And we move on. You got the Seattle Mariners coming into town, the division-leading Seattle Mariners, at a sterling 17-14 because the AL West, I don't know if they're taking notes from the Astros, but all of them are deciding, do we want to be a good baseball team? Not really. Not interested in that early on, but the Mariners do come to town. So, Sean, do we enter this series thinking, now that we got through the Brown and Arrigetti parts of the rotation, we got a real chance to get 3 good performances coming up over the weekend. Do we think a run is in them? Let's say they take they win another series, which means they would only gain a game on the leaders. But now you're 5 out. But you're now you've won 6 out of 8. Does the heartbeat begin to beep? Beep. Does it start to beat a little faster? Does the heart rate pick up? Do we go, okay, that's a third series win in a row, 2 over, and the Mariners aren't good, but they're better than the Astros.
Leading the division.
They're leading the division. Let's lay it there. They're leading the division. Do we now start to think, all right, they're not dead. They're not up and running, but there's a heartbeat, and we can start to believe.
I think so. I think that's the right kind of level to be at should that happen. It's not fully Houston Astros baseball is back, baby, but it's you know, okay, that this team has gotten up off the mat. That's what that would be.
And the Cubs series felt like they were dead. After that series, it felt like they were dead.
They're reaching for the ropes. They couldn't get up. They optioned Jose Abreu, and now all of a sudden they're getting back on their feet.
Yeah, optioned Jose Abreu is like in Rocky IV when Rocky threw in the towel too late on Apollo was out. He threw that towel in too late. It felt like, now you're making the decision. Thanks, after we're already dead. But, yeah, I know it took a grim turn. I understand, people. We've been talking about Rocky a lot.
I don't know why.
I don't know either. I don't know.
I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched a Rocky movie in a long time. I saw half of the second Creed movie. I haven't seen Creed 3 yet.
You haven't seen Creed 3? Creed 3 is good.
Okay. Last time we're going to hear from Jonathan Majors, probably.
But what a way to go out.
Yeah, in a starring role. He probably will come back. He'll start acting with Mel Gibson. That's probably where he's at right now as far as status. So there is a place for him. But as being in a major motion picture,
Much like the Astros, it's going to be a long road back.
Yes. He's going to have to be on his best behavior and prove to everyone he's not.
He's 10 games under 500 right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's lucky. It's Hollywood's like the AOS where they like to forgive people. It's very forgiving depending on the certain things you do. Just wait a little while. Chill out in the cut. Don't embarrass yourself anymore. And then you wake up and all of a sudden the Jonathan Majors comeback is upon us, much like we hope the Astros comeback is upon us. I'm sure they don't appreciate that comparison.
No, they probably don't.
Nah, there's no. There's
Maybe
no,
back in the Roberto Osuna days, they would be like, you know what?
You know what? He's not,
this. He's spitting. Yeah. Brandon Taubman. Brandon Taubman's on the ESPN 97.5.
Taubman being like, would be the one who goes, he's spitting. I don't know if any other person in that organization is saying he's spitting. Like, it's just not part of their lexicon. Speaking of spitting, there is another Kendrick Lamar diss of Drake. That's out there for people. We talked about that earlier. People are waiting for KDOT to drop a song. Now that's 2 in a matter of a week. So
and he dropped it while you were like driving into work.
I didn't see it until we were wrapping up John and Lance, and I saw and there's a lot of double entendre. 616 is Father's Day. I think it's called 616 in LA. And if you know the Drake history, there's some questions about whether he's a good dad or not. So there's a lot of double entendre. There's the OJ. There's an OJ tie into 616 as well, the date. So Kendrick in his bag. And the Astros, at least last night, particularly John Singleton in his. We'll hear from Joe Espada when we come back on Spencer Arrigetti, who pitched and survived it and pitched well enough for the Astros to eventually find a way to turn it on and win. And like I said before, Espada did talk about that 7th inning and what it means and what this team can be when they got it going. So we'll get to that as well. other things to get to. We will wrap up the two first round series from last night. It was a Patrick Beverley. He had a moment, not a good one, but he had a couple moments in probably a matter of like an hour, because it was late in the game when one incident occurred, and then there was another one in the media scrum after the game where, look, you don't get fined particularly for disrespecting ESPN producers who happened to be at the game, but what he did to the fans in Indiana is going to catch him a lengthy suspension, and the NBA doesn't even have to worry about, well, it might affect the playoff series. The Bucks season is over, so he's probably going to catch a lengthy one. And the one problem with it is, because if it's longer than the Bridges suspension, then that conversation has to come up again. So maybe that's a baseline for the NBA. We can't suspend a guy for fan interaction if it's any longer than what Miles Bridges got for his alleged crimes. I don't know how the NBA does that, but I don't think you can hit him for more than what you hit Bridges for. But I think Patrick Beverley is going to get a long suspension. We'll talk about that throughout as we keep going on the show. But plenty of stuff to get to. First segment, I'm not going to say in the book, Sean. First segment done. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sure, and he's getting better every outing. That was huge. We needed a good start from him and take us deep in the game, and he did. And Taylor Scott, first major league win, that's huge also. Seth Martinez always finds a way. He's efficient, throws strikes. He allows us to save our pen, getting ready for series against Seattle.
Joe spotted last night. The first guy he was discussing was Spencer Arrighetti, who went 5 2/3, 6 strikeouts, 3 walks, 94 pitches. Had a good night. Tried to get through 6 and get himself a quality start. Just couldn't get there. So Taylor Scott came in and pitched an inning and a third as the Astros bullpen did their job until the Astros offense took over and made it a runaway. They win that game 8-2. Big 7th inning. They score 5 runs. John Singleton hit a homer in the 6th to give them the lead. And then the offense took off in the 7th. And it was a comfortable win, which is nice. We had a couple of extra inning games. One went the Astros' way, one didn't. The one that didn't was in embarrassing fashion, the way that game ended. But they bounced back. So they take 2 out of 3 from the Guardians, and they move on to the division-leading Mariners with a real shot of gaining some ground. Like, if they sweep them, then we're talking about a team that all of a sudden, of course, Texas is playing and Oakland is playing. So if Texas has a good weekend, they could jump in the first place. But if you wind up sweeping a series and then after how bad you've been being within like 4 games, and yes, I know it's early, but you have to play really good baseball to make up for what you've done so far. And I think the guys pointed out this morning that they how many times would they have to win 2 out of 3 just to get back to 500? So a sweep here against Seattle would help the cause. And because our show is one where no one can be who they say they are, I'm going to say this is Keith, but put it in quotes, and we'll just see. This Keith wants to talk about the Astros. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Dale.
It's not Keith. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say thanks to the Astros for taking 2 out of 3. And what do you think about Tara Reid doing stuff on the internet? Also, hashtag the people for Raheezy. Thank you.
Well, we're back to the MO. Blonde woman out of the limelight for a while. Thanks, Ryan. Oh, I don't even know. I can't. Maybe it's someone pretending to be Ryan, pretending to be Keith. I have no idea at this point. The awful Southern accent.
That'd be levels.
Yeah, it's Inception level type stuff we're doing right now. So I have no idea who that was or why they chose Keith But Tara Reid, you're probably at 4.5%. She was in those Sharknado movies, right? I don't think they're very lucrative, but there are so many of them that it could keep her afloat depending on her lifestyle. And, you know, I'm sure if Tara Reid wants to start a podcast, people listen to that too. There are always avenues other than getting online and getting naked, particularly for a woman who has a name. I'm going to give you might be my highest ever percentage, 4% for the Tara Reid drop. Still, as you might imagine, very unlikely. Telling you, man, you better, whoever that is, you better start to find influencers you like. That's the quickest route from influencer, TikToker to, oh, look, I've got a spicy account you can click on in my link tree. That is the mode if you are a person who has to see someone who has any level of fame, take their clothes off, start following the influencers. That's your best bet if you so choose. Or go to Mr. Skin. I don't know. One of the two. I don't know. Those are the only things I can think of to satiate your, I don't know if I call it a fetish, but your kink, I guess.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I guess it's, I don't know what
you. I don't know what you would call it. An interest. One of your likes and one of your likes as opposed to a dislike. Put that in your dating bio. One of my likes. Hoping for women from the early aughts to take their clothes off on OnlyFans. I'm sure that'll attract plenty of women.
That'll go well.
Yeah, I'm sure plenty of women would be interested in you if you did.
Hey,
that.
Me too.
Yeah. Hey, look, I didn't know I could find someone who would have that I could have in common, that in common with. Look at that. Yeah. But yeah, Astros take 2 out of 3. You don't have to, by the way, you don't have to use the Astros as a cover. You can just say, I want to talk OnlyFans. It doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. You don't have to pretend like you care about the Astros and what they did last night.
Did he not ask an Astros question somewhere?
No, he goes, credit the Astros with whatever accent he was using for taking 2 out of 3. Oh, and then he got to the Tara Reid stuff.
Okay.
Let me ask you something that has nothing to do with the Astros or OnlyFans.
Okay.
We've had the Bradley Beal night where he caught the slander for being terrible. We'll play some sound from Patrick Beverley when we come back. We're about against the break right now, so I don't want to get into that. But does Tobias does Tobias Harris reach a level where we should even entertain all the slander he gets? I know he was scoreless. He's getting paid a lot of money, but he's Tobias Harris. Like, I have come to expect Tobias Harris not to show up. And just because some dumb team gave him a lot of money years ago, he's a role player. He's not being paid like one, but Tobias Harris has been a role player for years in all of these Sixers incarnations, whether it's been James Harden with Maxey and Embiid or Ben Simmons with Embiid and Maxey or just Ben Simmons and Embiid. He's a role player. So if a role player is going to put up no points, it's embarrassing for Tobias Harris considering what he thinks of himself as. But I'm not surprised by this. Why is Kendrick Perk? Well, you got to fill time, content. I get it. But talking about Tobias Harris being sent to Chick-fil-A and he came back with napkins and forks or whatever he said as his joke when his teammates sent him there. It's Tobias Harris. Who cares? It's like Corey Brewer for me at this point. If Corey Brewer does it, he doesn't put up any points. Okay, fine.
The thing is, Corey Brewer wasn't making.
I know the money is why people are attacking Tobias Harris.
Because he got paid that money with the thought that he was going to be.
But we've seen that he's not that guy.
No, but that.
Pal?
That doesn't make him better. That he's basically Jose Abreu with a 5-year
he's
contract.
He's let us.
It's like, if Jose Abreu actually had to play out his contract, yes, people would stop being mad at Jose Abreu because they would be like, well, that's what Jose Abreu
Tobias
is.
Harris has shown us. Tobias Harris has shown us this is who he is.
Also, this actually isn't who he is. This is substantial.
It's a level of suck that he hasn't reached ever.
He averaged like 18 points per game this year.
But in the postseason,
he averaged like 10, and then in a do or die game at home, he gave you a 0 with like 3 shots.
No one should be surprised by this performance by Tobias Harris. It's awful. I'm not going to pretend like it's not awful. But it shouldn't take up the airspace of, well, I can't believe Tobias Harris did that. Of course you should believe it. It's Tobias Harris.
I don't know if it's a you can't believe it. It's more of a, man, this guy again. It's he's like lower level James Harden.
Yes.
But where James Harden is at least like theoretically one of your two best players on a team, basically every year of his career, except for this one, I guess. He was supposed to be the third, but now in the playoffs, he's still the second. Mm-hmm. That's what Tobias Harris is, where he's like, theoretically, he should be the second or third banana on the Sixers.
Like, he should be – well, he makes more money than Maxey. That'll change. That's just a matter of when Maxey came into the league. He's being paid to be their third best player. He's looked at to be their third best player. In fact, last year, he was their fourth best player with Harden on the roster. But the money he's being given suggests he should be maybe a Robin to someone's Batman, I guess, when we all know he's more like
– the only thing he's Robin –
It's the Sixers. Not anymore. They're done with them. Yeah. They don't have to pay him any more money. The last check has cashed, and he ain't robbing them anymore.
Yep.
But
if the check is in the mail, and see you later, buddy.
Yeah, we don't appreciate what you've done for us. We're just glad we don't have to pay you anymore.
I can't believe Elton Brand chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy
Butler. Now the talk, because Jimmy Butler, who we discussed off the air about a potential extension, he wants an extension, and now the discussion is the Sixers are monitoring that situation. So 5 years later, when he's as close to wash as he's ever been, now the Sixers might want to bring him back, according to Brian Windhorst. I think you missed the boat.
We can save this full conversation for July, when this trade would potentially happen.
Sure. Yeah.
How many playoff games do you think both Embiid and Jimmy will be playing in without a knee brace on?
Ooh.
without them playing through an injury. Because Joel Embiid, to his credit,
played
every game this series when we said
the four over-under was the over-under, four. Yeah. True.
But Jimmy Butler, another guy who either will miss games in the playoffs or at the very least will be gutting through injuries during the playoffs. Same thing with Embiid. I think if they team up, like, they would just both be limping throughout the entire playoffs. And Maxey would be like, what
am I doing? What are we doing
what am I
here?
Supposed to do?
Yeah, the fact that those two will be fluctuating between questionable, probable, and doubtful throughout a playoff run will be infuriating to anyone who roots for the Sixers. You never know which one's going to be available. Oh, knee soreness for Jimmy. Migraine plus palsy for Embiid. Hopefully that is not a thing that hampers him throughout the rest of his career. I don't know how palsy goes away, but that just throw it on top of all the other things Sixers fans had to worry about beyond Knicks fans taking over their arena, which happened again last night as the Knicks win that series. And the other thing about the conversation is, how has Jalen Brunson changed the Knicks? Which, yeah, he is surprised at the level of consistency and greatness he's brought to the Knicks. But I don't regret to point this out, but I feel like I should. They're in the same spot they were in last year. They advanced to the second round of the playoffs last year. He did it last year. I know he was even greater this year against the Sixers, and you might hold the Sixers in higher esteem than you would that Cavs team because of Embiid and how Maxey played. But the Knicks have reached the same round they did last year and got eliminated. Now, playing the Cavs, they're wearing a one seed. Playing the Pacers may be a different challenge than playing the Heat led by playoff Jimmy. But let him get to the conference finals before I start to talk about what he's done to change the Knicks.
Is he the best Knicks since Walt Frazier? Because that's what they were asking on First Take.
I don't know.
Little person.
I don't know. I don't know how great Walt Frazier was. I know he was great. I just never watched him play. Oh, who are we comparing him to? Ewing.
Ewing and Melo.
Melo. Well, congratulations for winning that
Latrell
one.
Sprewell.
Latrell was a great complimentary player, but
like Tobias Harris.
No, Latrell will come here and choke you, and rightfully so. You compare him to Tobias Harris as far as playoff performances. Is Brunson the best Knick since Walt Frazier? Sure.
Allen Houston.
Once again, a good complimentary player, but never a lead dog like what Jalen Brunson is doing. He's been great.
Raymond Felton.
Now we're just getting into short, somewhat stubby dudes you want to compare him to. Because Brunson doesn't exactly fit the profile of an elite NBA star. But it doesn't matter. We see what he is. And at least against the Sixers, he was dominant. And probably will do that to the Pacers too, because they're not serious about defense. And the Pacers take out the Bucks last night. And that'll lead us to what we'll play coming back. And we'll talk about a guy who spent some time here. But he's at the end of his career, and if this is the way he's going to go out, he's going out sad. Not sadder than Tobias Harris, because that's not possible. But what Patrick Beverley was involved in last night was sad, and he went from a guy who people may thought was overrated defensively, but at least he tried hard. Now he's just a guy who may, depending on how the NBA looks at it, he may be a guy who doesn't get a contract this offseason. We'll see. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. So the Bucks lose to the Pacers without Giannis. Dame Lillard came back. So I guess Doc was right on him being very, very close. We talked about that early in the week. It was fine. But Dame talked about the injuries and how they changed the course of their season. So if the Bucks are going to run it back, they're going to lean on hopefully the health of Giannis and Dame to push them beyond the first round. That's two first-round exits in a row for them. And, of course, we know Doc Rivers will make all the necessary changes to get them ready to go for a deep playoff run, because that's on his – that's something he's proven to be capable of in the last, well, at this point, decade. We have to go back to 08, or maybe let's give him 2010, when those Celtics teams were in the finals, since the last time Doc was shepherding a really good team to a title, or at least a title contention. He's been to a conference final with the Celtics in 2012, I think, and really since he's left the Celtics, it's been major disappointments. And that continued. Doc all year was like, hey, this team isn't – this is a tough job. I don't know why they even hired me.
I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
Yeah. He told everyone how tough it was, and then he loses Giannis, and then the Pacers team takes him out. But at the end of that game, Patrick Beverley's being subbed out. If you missed it last night, they're getting blown out late. They stuck with the Pacers for a while, and then late in the third and into the fourth quarter, they pulled away, and the Pacers – it was a runaway at that point. So it's the end of the game. And I don't know what interactions Patrick Beverley was having with the fans, but he didn't like it. So he chucks the ball at a fan and hits a woman in the head. And then he asks for the ball back. And if I'm a fan at that point, I'm not giving you the ball back. If I just saw you fire the ball and connect with someone's head, I'm not giving this guy the ball back. I don't know what Patrick Beverley said to convince, I'm sorry, that's the one time I'm going to do it. No, you don't give him the ball back. You give that ball to someone else.
Yeah, where's Chris Middleton?
Yeah. Well, he was crying on the – on the bench. Wow. He wasn't looking to interact with anyone.
I know Brooke Lopez won't throw a ball in.
Yeah, I'm not a mascot. He'll fight a mascot. He won't fight me. Or is it Robin? One of the Lopez brothers.
It's the other one.
Yeah, Robin likes to fight mascots in a joking fashion. I'm not giving the ball back to a guy who just fired it at another fan. So the fan, dumbly or mistakenly, gives the ball back to Patrick Beverley, and he fires another shot at a fan. And that wasn't his only issue after the game. Patrick Beverley has a podcast. I think we've played sound on this podcast here, or his podcast here, or on the John and Lance show. He says some things that are inflammatory. You always want to hear inflammatory things, so we play some of it. Well, apparently the entry to interviewing him for a media member is you have to listen to his podcast. Here's an interaction after the game with an ESPN producer who was on site, and it didn't go well for the producer. And it didn't go well for Patrick Beverley in the court of public opinion.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
So you can't interview me then. Okay. No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump. Or maybe.
what an interview.
Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over, kind of like you have in the past?
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am.
Oof.
If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oof. Yeah, man, there's nothing in that plays well. Apparently he does this to anyone who doesn't subscribe. So it wasn't an issue with a woman per se. It's just what he does to anyone who doesn't subscribe. But that's a bad look. It's coupled with what he did during the game at the end of it.
Also going 3-for-11 during the game. Wow. I know he's Patrick Beverly.
That's expected, to be fair. I mean, I can't crush him for that. Much like the Tobias Harris thing, oh, Patrick Beverly went 3-for-11. The one thing I would say, don't let him take 11 shots.
Well, Doc, there's a lot of injuries.
Don't let him take 11 shots. Give those shots to Andre Jackson, who I know can't shoot, but give to him instead of Patrick Beverly. Bobby Portis almost got thrown out of another game. Let him take a couple more.
My guy, A.J. Green. A different A.J. Green.
But maybe the other A.J. Green would have been better in the game. Who knows? Who knows? But Patrick Beverly had a rough hour or so. And, of course, because after cooling down, and you know you got to save your reputation, he has already commented on his actions and says he has to be better. Oh, you think not firing a basketball into a crowd a couple times is a better approach when you're getting blown out in a basketball game? You think you should lean that way? Okay. Thanks.
Oh. There's a better way to handle this?
Yes.
News to me.
And I have to be better is what he says. I guess he may have tweeted that. I'm not sure where he put it.
Do you subscribe to his podcast? Because he might have said it on his podcast.
No.
Wait, you don't subscribe to his podcast? I'm not sure if we can talk about it if you don't subscribe.
I'm not going to bend to Patrick Beverly's will just because he got upset after a game and he needs people to subscribe to his podcast. I get you got to push the pod, but not that way. He said not fair at all. Exchange between a fan and our ball club last night. We warned and asked for help all night. Not fair. So he is saying the Pacer fans were on him and I guess the rest of the team, and he didn't like it. I don't know if they were as polite. At least those fans were as polite as something I heard from that game where there was a fan yelling at Damian Lillard about his tattoos. Was it like, you have unnecessary tattoos, or what was he saying?
I'll find it, but
it was the same guy. I would say he went after Dame Lillard, but he didn't go after him. It was like you could hear it on the mic. Yeah. And it was like something about his tattoos.
Lillard, your tattoos are only decent.
Yeah. That was a level of taunting that was going on from the Pacer fans last night, at least that fan. Your tattoos are only decent. So whatever was happening behind
Bobby Portis, your eyes are slightly too big
for
your head.
Those are the two clips I heard, and I was like, that's somewhat polite. It wouldn't cause me to fire a basketball at someone because he had questions about my tattoos.
What if that person said, Patrick Beverly, I'm not subscribed to your podcast?
Then does
she deserve it?
Then just don't talk to him. Just like you don't talk to the media. Why does a fan deserve a ball to the face?
Because she doesn't subscribe to his podcast.
I know it's a very sensitive topic.
For him.
Considering every show here has a podcast, we all want you to listen and subscribe, I guess, if you want. But we'll have to continue to talk. We're not going to not
call,
talk to you.
No, you can't call in and ask which celebrity you Dell thinks will be on OnlyFans next unless you subscribe to the podcast.
Nah, that's one of my favorite calls. I'm not telling him not to do that. I enjoy that call because I wait for the different name every time.
It's like a miniature game.
Yeah, I love that call because I get into my percentage bag and maybe I question the guy or Ryan or whoever decides to pretend to be Ryan. Yeah.
You get to go on IMDb.
Yeah, look up their recent work and maybe there's a lack of work that might lead me to up the percentage. I like that game, so I'm not going to put that on people. But, yeah, we're going to throw basketballs at people. What do we think, Sean? Are we thinking?
Foul.
It's a flagrant foul, at least.
Yeah.
Throwing a basketball at someone's head.
Fair or foul? No.
Foul.
Out of bounds.
Are we thinking 20 games, 25? I think the Miles Bridges line is what I think they can't surpass. Because if Miles Bridges caught, 20, 25 games for his alleged incidents. Well, they're incidents, but he's been convicted of a couple things, but not some others, or at least been charged.
Or pled guilty, or something.
Pled guilty. Something along those lines, where the legal system has or the justice system has taken account of what he's done. Can it go beyond the Miles Bridges thing if you're the NBA when it's something like this, or are they going to open themselves up to wait a minute? Yes, don't throw a basketball, but you allowed the guy who was involved in domestic violence to come back in less time.
Yeah, I think it'll be like 10 games.
I think we'll get to double digits, but I think 10 games is probably...
Five to 10. I could even see it just being like a 5-game. Cause like,
so 2.5 per throw? 2.5 games per throw?
I don't know.
He should get five for
at
least five for each throw.
Yeah, because I know that they get pretty the NBA gets pretty skittish around player interactions with the fan, you know, ever since
the malice at the palace.
So I honestly it probably should be, it feels like another, you know, it feels like a football game and a guy was just like, I guess, menacingly throwing a football into the at a fan in an NFL game, they probably get like one game, maybe, mm-hmm.
yeah.
maybe a fine for the football.
Yeah.
But I think in the NBA, yeah, probably like 10. Because like baseball, it's a little different because the ball is so much harder. You could actually like really hurt someone with it.
So Miles Bridges got a 30-game suspension, but it was more like time served for 20 of them. Because in the year he wasn't offered a contract, he was out for the whole year.
Yeah,
it wasn't an official suspension. It was like, okay, no one's going to give this guy
anything. Yeah, he basically got suspended a
year. So the NBA suspended him for 10 games this year, or 30 overall, but he only had to serve 10 this year because they kind of gave him time served from the year before, or he didn't have a contract. He signed a qualifying offer with the Hornets, got his 10-game suspension out of the way, and then he'd play the rest of the year as long as he was available. So I think 10 is probably the number, probably around there. And then the question will anyone want to sign Patrick Beverley in the offseason for him to actually begin serving that suspension once the season begins?
Will the suspension carry over to like Italy or
I don't think the NBA can extradite their suspensions, or Italy bring the suspension from the NBA and go, look, Patrick, they gave you 10. We're gonna honor it. We're gonna honor those 10 because we have a working relationship. I don't think the EuroLeague has that type of relationship with the NBA.
Okay.
No,
Patrick, diplomatic immunity. That's what he has.
It's the opposite of that. He's not immune if he goes to a different country. The extradition rules say, you come over here, we're still gonna punish you. I don't think it happens. I think he probably does sign an NBA contract, but late in the offseason after like the first couple waves of free agency.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna get tampered with.
No,
I'll say that.
Nah, I don't think he has to worry about that.
Yeah, it'll be another team he started on the Sixers, then he got traded to the Bucks.
It'll be some team who thinks he's a potential defensive stopper.
Backup point guard.
Yeah, where all we got to do is go back to what Russell Westbrook said. He'd be tricking y'all. You don't play defense anymore. And Haliburton and that Pacers backcourt kind of had their way with Patrick Beverley. And the Bucks weren't a great defensive team on the perimeter. You can't be when Malik Beasley and Dame Lillard and then an old Patrick Beverley are on the roster. So that series is over. We got Cavs Magic tonight. We got Clippers Mavericks tonight as well. So the two home teams are in different spots. The Mavericks can close out their series. The Magic have to win to extend their series and go back to Cleveland. So those games will be on ESPN tonight. If you decide you want to watch the Astros and compelling NBA basketball, I can't promise they're going to be compelling. It'll just be NBA basketball, and we'll see how those games play out. Because the Magic-Cavs games have not been interesting. I think Game 5 was fine, but games 1 through 4 have gone to the home team and not been competitive, and we never know what we're going to get out of Dallas and the Clippers.
Yeah, game 5 for the Cavs Magic series, that was like this is
close for once.
It's a close game, but it's also
played well.
It's yes, and it's also two teams that there's just not a lot of like juice for either of these teams. You know, it's like the Cavs, who we all think is going to trade the best player basically no matter what happens in the series.
Yeah.
And then the Magic, where it's like, yeah, you know, Paolo, Franz.
The other Suggs. Wagner, Suggs, and Cole Anthony.
Yeah, it's like just a bunch of guys. You're like, these guys are young and somewhat interesting.
Yeah, but they still play for the Orlando Magic.
And the first four games were basically like not televised, so you haven't been following along with the series.
They're on NBA TV.
And then on weekends, they're the first game.
The first game
Saturday.
Of the weekend, and those decisions were justified by the actual games. Yeah. Like, the NBA was like, yeah, we were right about this.
You're welcome, America. Yeah,
appreciate us. Hey, we put the Magic and Cavs out of view. You should thank us for that. But now, Friday night, they'll have the first game of the doubleheader. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see if the Magic can get that to a game 7. Lodos, I see you. We are way late, so we'll come back and get his call and then try to get back on the clock. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. As I said, quick one here. Trying to get back on the clock. Just going to wrap up hour one with Larasa. On the other side, we're going to hear from Nick Caserio. He talked to Pat McAfee about Stephon Diggs. And also his favorite player, Kate Stover. I'm not going to get to the Kate Stover sound, but somehow, some way, Kate Stover's been the star of the Texans offseason, at least since the signing of Danielle Hunter. Ever since. I think I've heard more from Caserio in terms of rave reviews for Kate Stover than anyone else, but he did talk about Stephon Diggs. We'll hear that when we come back. But first, let's hear from Larasa. What's up, man?
Johnny Granati, Blanche. It's all. Jalocito! Para tres. Bang, bang, not again.
So even Julian's in. All right, Julian, that's a... You can't call back until next Friday. Not because of the bad impression, but because of Bang, Bang, Niner Gang. Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry. I warned him about that particular phrase. It's dumb. I hate it. No one does it, but... No one thinks that's a great phrase. It's stupid. He earned himself a ban.
Patrick Beverly of this show?
Not even. Not even. He's the Tobias Harris of this show.
Oh.
For a week. Because he's putting up zeros for a week. That's what he is. What Julian just did was Tobias Harris last night. And it earned him a ban.
Oh, for two?
Yeah. Yes. The impression and the... The slogan. Sorry. Well, I mean, pretend to be Ryan if you want. Or Larasa or Keith, but don't bring the Niner stuff here. It's not a Niner show. Never had it. Do we have breaking news?
Yes. Speaking of the Niners, their former offensive coordinator just got a new wide receiver. Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins have signed Odell Beckham Jr. Your thoughts. 1 year, $3 million.
It's an incentive-laden deal. The Dolphins had very little cap space because they designated Xavier Howard, who's still out there, for a post-June cut. So their money was going to come in at that point where they could have given Odell, I guess, more money than he got here. So I think they had 3.7. He's getting a very incentive-laden deal. The Dolphins didn't come up from their original offer, according to reports, but they did increase the incentives. At least. So if he reaches them, he can make a little over $8 million a year for 1 year. And this is probably where Odell Beckham is for the rest of his career. He's on that Jadeveon Clowney tract where all you do is sign these one-year deals after the bulk of free agency is completed. You find a spot with a contender, a place you want to play, and according to reports as well, Mike McDaniel, the head coach, you heard Sean mention the name, was very instrumental in getting this done. Talked to Odell throughout, made him feel wanted. And you know, Sean, we all want to feel wanted. So Odell Beckham is in Miami. DJ Chark is an L.A. Charger. So some veteran wide receivers are off the board. We know the Texans made a big trade for a veteran wide receiver. We're going to hear on the other side from Nick Caserio about that wide receiver and some of the, let's just say some of the rumors surrounding Stephon Diggs and his alleged lack of character. Caserio pushes back on that on the Pat McAfee show. We'll hear that coming back 1 hour in. We've got Michael Carroll coming up at 11:30. He dropped some news on Twitter or X. He's going to be at a special event, and his podcast will be there as well. So we'll talk to Michael about that and other things in the world of pop culture and nerd culture. As I'm free to finally watch some other things because. For whatever reason, I got stuck in this wormhole of watching this French language crime drama. Had to read a lot of subtitles and watch a lot of French people smoke cigarettes and then murder people. I'm done with that. So there'll be other things for me to watch. Hopefully, Michael has something good for me to watch or, in some cases, not watch. We'll be back.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King. Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.